Door. Grab your Bibles, please, the book of Matthew. As we continue on talking about the red letters, we started off a series a couple of weeks ago talking about the red letters of Jesus Christ. And, a lot of people will talk about Jesus and what he is and what they think he is, but it's really fascinating to actually take a look at the words of Christ himself. And so we're going through the Matthew and looking at all the words of Christ. And, it's exciting that we see these things. I think more so than ever. We live in a world where there's so much information and some of it good, some of it not so good. And what is the truth? And it's always good to go back to the source, right? Go back to the source. That's what we're doing this morning. So Matthew chapter 5, we're picking this up. Jesus, this is a section of scripture we're called the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus was preaching, and this is probably over a series of days, and Matthew condensed it all within just a few chapters here for us. We talked about the Beatitudes last week, that blessed are you, right? If you are in need, blessed are you if you're downtrodden. Blessed are you if you need Jesus because he is there. And I think that's really the core of a lot of this. When we look at the Sermon on the Mount, it's not just a bunch of rules and regulations. We're going to look into this. God tells us what he expects of us. But I don't know about you, but I'm pretty far from perfect. I know it's hard to tell, right? Yeah. Just ask my wife. She'll tell you. I'm far from perfect. I fall short. And if religion is being good enough, then none of us are good enough. It's not about that. It's about God loves us. And he saves us while we're falling short, while we can't do, while we're weak, while we're struggling. God loves us anyways. And not that we don't try. Right, I still want to please him, right? I still try. But you know what? I'm not stressed if I fall short. Because I know he's going to accept me, and he accepts you. Right? And so we look at this, and Jesus starts transitioning here. He gets into verse 13. But I want you to just back up just a little bit, because he talks about you are. What am I in Christ? Right? I'm a Christian, what am I? And Jesus starts off here with saying, you are salt, and he says, and you are light. You are these things, that you could be salt, and not even that you should be salt, but he says what? You are. And we're talking about the same thing with light. You are these things. If you're giving your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you belong to him. His Holy Spirit now comes and dwells in you. And you are a testimony for him. Now the question is, we can be a good testimony, we can be a strong testimony, or we can be a weak testimony, or even a bad testimony. But we are a testimony one way or the other. Often likening it to, has anyone ever driven a company vehicle? Has anyone ever driven? We got one, two, we got a few of you. Years ago, I worked for the mill, and they would send us down. Actually, I came down to Bucksport. They needed a part from the mill here for the mill up north. And so he goes, we're looking for someone who can go down and pick this up. And I'm like, this is a free day of work. I get paid for driving around. This is going to be great. And the gentleman who usually does it had broken his foot. And the truck was a standard. And he goes, can you drive a standard? He's like, oh, yeah, I can drive a standard. So, woohoo. So head out, and I remember walking out the door, the manager told me, he goes, just remember, you're driving the company truck. You're driving the company truck. And it was a Louisiana Pacific truck. On the back was, how's my driving, right? And there was a phone number on the back of that, and he goes, people will call. And he goes, he threatened me. He goes, just be aware, you're driving the company truck. Wherever you go, you represent the company. And I don't know if you guys remember years ago, I don't know if it was Medway or what, but there was a strip club off there. And apparently one of the guys took the company truck on the way down, decided to do lunch there. And of course, people saw that, called up and said, hey, you know where your employee is, right? And he said, well, he's not an employee here anymore. Right? So I was walking out. So I hear all this. He goes, don't stop here. I'm like, okay. Don't do this. Don't do that. Remember, you're driving the company truck. And ever since then, that really stuck on me. Because as I was driving, I kind of felt that responsibility. Right? Oh, I should probably use a blinker. I should not really speed that much. I should be very careful because the whole car was plastered with the company's name. So if the Christian life is that way, if you claim to be a Christian, that you belong to Jesus Christ, that you are driving the company truck, right? We bear the name of Jesus Christ wherever we go, and we can be a good testimony or a poor testimony. But it's interesting here, Jesus says, you are. Right? And he starts off with this, you are salt. Take a look here in Matthew chapter 5. It says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are salt. Years ago, there was someone, you know, the church sign, people would get kind of witty on there. And someone put on the church sign and said, God wants salty Christians. And I grew up in church. I knew what that meant. I talked to a person who wasn't a Christian, and they're like, what? Because all you can think of, God wants sweaty Christians. That's what he converted it on. Well, maybe this morning you are. Maybe when we get up, your back will be sticking to the pew because it's kind of warm and sticky. But you are salt, right? And the verse he's referring to is this one, that look, you are salt of the earth. And salt has certain qualities to it, right? I like salt. Now, I think the doctors say salt is bad for you, right? Are they still saying that? And my blood pressure tends to run a little high. And so I don't like going to the doctor because they always tell me, right? So cut back on the salt. And I actually have done really well because, like, corn on the cob, I would just, right? And so I've cut back a lot. I did try that alternative salt. It tastes like aluminum, right? But salt has certain qualities to it. We need salt. Actually, you need a certain amount of it within your system, within your body. But the first thing, salt is potent, right? You put salt in something, and it makes a difference in the dish, right? Those of you who are for health reasons, you know, you cut back salt. Food doesn't taste as good, right? Salt brings out that flavor that's in there. You put too much salt in it, and it makes a big difference. When I was a kid, we ran home from school, and my mom made some bread pudding. I love bread pudding. And we came home, and there was a dish of bread pudding that was in the fridge. And teenagers, my brother's 2 years younger than me, were like, bread pudding. So we took it out, and my brother just started wolfing it down. And he ate about a quarter of it. Well, then I went, hey, give me some of that. So I took a bite out of it, and like, oh, it was salty. I was just like, ah. And I told my brother, he's like, arr. I'm like, don't you find that salty? And he's like, oh, he wasn't even tasting it. He was just eating it. I'm like, I can't even eat that. So we put it away. My mom came home, and we're like, you know, first he's like, did you touch the bread pudding? No. She opens the fridge, it's half gone, right? It's all right. I said, Mom, something's wrong with it. It was just, it was salty. And she goes, I don't understand that. She goes, I maybe put a dash of salt in it. And so she went to the cupboard and pulled down a jar. Someone from the church had given her a jar of sugar. She opened it up, tasted it, and it was canning salt. Now, I don't know how much sugar goes in the bread pudding, but that's how much salt was in it. My brother was sick and dehydrated for like 4 days. It was bad. It's like, taste your food next time. Salt is potent. As Christians, God wants us to be potent Christians, right? In the book of Revelations, Jesus is talking to the churches, and he told one of them, he says, look, I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Jesus says, look, guys, you guys are just kind of wishy-washy warm. And the words of Jesus here is, you make me sick. God wants us to be on fire for him, to be excited for him, to let our light so shine. We're going to get into that verse, right? God wants us to declare because we're driving the company truck. To broadcast our name, to live our faith. You know, the world time and time says, you know, it's okay to have a faith. It's okay to be a Christian. Just do it at home. Right? Leave it. Don't bring it to the workplace. Don't bring it to the ballot. Don't do all those things. Let me tell you something, that's wrong. If you believe what you believe, it should shine through. And to stand. We talked about this morning, praying for those. You know, there are people who have a very strong conviction, religious conviction against the vaccine or against some of the things. And I cringe because people have to have the liberty to follow the convictions of their faith. And I'm not saying Christian faith. I don't care what your religion is. I think our government should stay out of and allow people to have freedom of expression of their faith. And wherever we are, because I belong to him, because I'm driving the company truck, if you will, no matter where I am, my Facebook page should reflect my faith. Of when my conversations I have, it should reflect my faith. And not water it down. And I'm not talking purposely be offensive, right? I mean, God doesn't say you should be a jerk. God doesn't want you to be a jerk. Right? But he wants us to declare what we believe. Know the word of God. Follow it and do it and stand on your convictions. We need more of that today. You know, I talked to a lady who was going to a church and her husband was asking me some political. He goes, "Do you get really political?" And I said, "I don't think so. I try to be biblical." Right? And sometimes those things overlap, but I try to stick to the word of God and not politics. And he's like, "Oh," he goes, I should come to your church. I was like, hey, there's an idea. Hey, come on. I'm glad to have you. And his wife goes, no, we like the church where we go to. And he goes, and so I'm like, I'm not getting into this. And she goes, well, I like our church because you can believe whatever you want to. And our church says it's okay. That's lukewarm. Let's look warm. Know what the Bible says. Read it. Study it. That's what we do here this morning, right? That's what we do. We turn around Sunday school and we do in Bible study on Tuesday nights and Sunday nights is to get into the Word so we can know it, so we can apply it to our lives and be able to stand on it. What's my conviction? God says, look, you're salt. Be potent. Be strong. Salt purifies. Right? It cleanses. It takes care of the bacteria in here. You know, you ferment things. I love a good sauerkraut. Right? Ooh. Right? Preserving fish. You know, right? Salt purifies. Cut yourself. Rub some salt on it. But it does. And Christians, as Christians, when we are out and about in this world, we should have a purifying effect. Now, the problem is, when we do that, people often get offended. Because who are you to judge? Look, I'm not judging. I'm just saying this is what the Bible says. Right? God is the one who judges. I'm not the judge. You're not accountable to me. You're accountable to God. But this is what his word says, and I'm going to stand on it. And that purifies. You know, one thing you can see time and time again, that the church has often and should often make a positive influence on the communities we are and those around us through our generosity and through our love, that people should see a difference. I talked to a gentleman in town, and he's not a believer. He says, look, I'm not a believer. He goes, I'm an atheist. He goes, but I love being surrounded by Christians. He goes, Christians make the best neighbors. Right? He goes, you know, that they, you know, they take care of each other, they watch out for each other. He goes, I'm not a believer, but I love surrounding myself with them. And he goes, he was talking about a friend of his. He goes, his friend's looking for a girl. He goes, look, go to a church and find a Christian girl. Right? He goes, I'm not a believer, but look, there's something different about the Christian girls. Go find one. I'm like, okay. eHarmony.church. I don't know what you want to call it, right? But it's interesting that here is an unbeliever who sees a difference. And in here, we can help preserve. And I think we did that for so long that there were things that we said culturally are contrary to the Word of God. And people said no. And in the course of the last couple of years, all that's been thrown out. Hasn't it? And so many Christians have just said, okay, that's fine. And folks, let me tell you something, it's not. And we're seeing that blessing, I believe, God has really had in this nation. And I think God's hand's coming off it because we're seeing the results of sin. And we're getting to a point where we're calling wrong right. And now listen, the world's going to do what the world does. I'm not under any delusions of that eventually we'll be able to pull back the tide. But folks, I can say for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And if all of us stood up and made a difference, what a difference that would make. Right? And I you guys know, I grew up sort of a hard-nosed fundamentalist. And we were taught, you know, not to go to movies, not to do anything. We weren't supposed to be involved in politics. I was in high school. And I told my pastor, I said, look, I'm thinking about either becoming a science teacher or I'm thinking about getting into politics. And he looked, my pastor looked and he goes, Christians can't be involved in politics. Oh. And look where we are today. You know what I think? I think we need more Christians involved in politics who will stand for truth. And isn't it refreshing when you hear some of these politicians who will stand up for truth and right? And it's refreshing, right? And it's quickly, it's amazing how quickly the media and those would quickly try to discredit anyone who wants to stay for truth. But folks, we are called to purify. John says this later on in the book of John, to sanctify him by your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify means to set aside, to be holy, right? That when we take God's word and we apply it, it cleanses us. There's a verse I put it in here, and I was like, I don't know if I should put it in it, but I love this verse, and hopefully I can explain it in a way that's understandable and good, because I think it so applies. And this is Ephesians, and I know this passage talks about husbands and wives, and it starts talking about all those things. But I love this passage in here when Jesus is talking about how he deals with his church. Right? He's using the illustration of husband and wives and brings it down to the church. But notice what it says here. Husbands, love your wives. As just as Christ also loved the church. Notice what he said, right? That he gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with what? The washing of the water by the word. It's God's word that cleanses. Is I take God's word and I read it and I find out what's right and I find out what's wrong. As I find out those standards, as I get closer to him, all these things going through as I am in here. As Christians, we need to be in and of the word. And what that does is it purifies us. If we turn what it says I should turn to and turn towards what it tells me I should. But the word of God is that cleansing, purifying, right? You know, as you go in this world, I cut yourself, and it's like, oh. And you go and you wash it off, and it hurts. You know, now they have all these sprays and stuff like that. It's supposed to be pain-free and all that. My daughter, stepped on something, and her toe was bleeding, so we went out and got this. And she's like, don't do that because it hurts. I'm like, I don't know what my mom put on us, but I think it cleansed and cauterized and, it, right? I mean, remember when you were a kid, the stuff your parents would put on? It turned your whole toe orange, and it I think it was a punishment just so you wouldn't do it again. It's like, no, right? Like get rid of the bacteria, get rid of the infection. God's word does that. And I cringe because so many churches aren't teaching all of God's word. And I'll tell you, it breaks my heart as one who ministers the word of God, because I want to be true to the whole council. I want to stand before God and say, look, as a pastor, I fed the congregation, the whole council of the word of God. And I'm hearing more and more churches who are, well, we don't talk about this subject, and we don't preach on this passage, and we don't talk about this. We want only the good, positive, uplifting. And it's like, look, I like those things too, but what's the whole word of God? And a lot of these churches are struggling with sin, and their congregations are struggling with sin because they haven't been taught what is right and what God expects. The word of God purifies. Lastly, we see the idea of salt, that salt preserves. Right? We talk about sort of, you know, the sauerkraut. That in here, as it cleanses, it gets rid of the bad stuff. That in here, what it does is preserves the good stuff. And salt does that. And as we are salts in this world, we turn around and we are faithful that we will have that preserving quality in the world around us. Peter says this, he says, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. God keeps us by his power through faith. Now, the Bible tells us we walk by faith and not by sight. Right? That in here, as Christians, we look through the world today through the scope of Scripture. How do I understand the world today? The world view is that I look through Scripture to interpret and what's going on around me. And as I do that, it tells me how I should react and what I should do. It preserves me. It keeps me. You know, if I'm walking with the Lord, I'm a better husband than if I just follow my own devices. If I follow the Scriptures, I'm a better father than if I follow my own devices. I'm a better employee. I'm a better citizen by walking by faith, because the word of God preserves me as I walk by faith and not by sight. But it's imperative that we know our faith is built upon what? The word of God. Romans says this, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You want to increase your faith? Right? Lord, I want more faith. You know how you do that? Be in the word. Know what God says and do it. Let the word of God have its perfect work. And it's amazing if we turn around and say, hey, you know what? I have this situation. What does the Bible say about it? You'd be amazed at how much stuff the Bible talks about as I seek it out and follow him. Once again, if you want to increase your faith, and that is the power of God to keep you, be in the word. Know the word. Search out the word. Because then you will be salt. And you'll be potent. You'll preserve. You'll be kept. All these things in here. And if not, the Bible says, Jesus says, that what? That what good are you? What good are you? If I just go along with everything else, right? Guess what? You take salt and you take away the saltiness out of it. Guess what you have? A rock. Right? And Jesus says, what good is it? Just throw it in the road and you know, walk on it. You are salt. Christian, let me ask, what kind of salt are you? The Bible goes on. Jesus says that not only are you salt, but he says you are light. Matthew chapter 5 says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And once again, we look at sort of the qualities of light. The first one, that light shows the way. Notice what he says here. He says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Right? Here we have a light that was off in the distance. Right? I was in a situation where we're out, and especially out west where everything's so flat. And I remember I was driving. I just had barely gotten my license, so I was probably about 16, 17 years old. And I was decided to take some shortcuts, and I totally got lost. And I don't know if you've been out west. It is flat. I mean, you can see for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles. And I didn't know where I was going to go. And I looked up, and up there they have water towers. So you got this real flat land, and you have these tall water towers. Every town has these water towers out there. And on top of them, they have this light on top. And so I was seeking it out. I was like, okay, hey, I see a light. There has to be something there. I knew there was a town out there somewhere. And so I just followed the light. Right? Driving around and turning here. And okay, where am I? And guess what? Eventually I came to a small little town. And I was, okay, where am I? And figured out where I was so I can get home. Right? Very similar here. Out of the harbor. Right? You have the ship in the sea. We have lighthouses here. And you have a ship that's out at sea and the fog comes in. And how can they find their way? What? The lighthouse shines out the light. Right? The light that shines, you know, you can't go out there and read by it. Right? It doesn't, you know, you hold up a book, it's not going to be illuminating enough for that. But what it is that beacon to show the way. Head towards the light. Christians, we are left here for the unsaved to show them the way. You know, in Sunday school, we were going to talk about our testimonies. And I want to encourage you. You might hear some encouraging thing. We're going around the room hearing people's testimonies. And I love hearing how people come to Christ. And our goal is in here to get the courage and the confidence to share our faith with other people that they can become Christians too. It's not an inclusive club. Right? Jesus says, go into all the world and make disciples. We're supposed to be sharing his grace and love to everyone. It's not just, aha, look what I got. Right? I think there's a lot of Christians that are that way. You know, we start doing the Lord of the Rings thing. You know, my precious, it's mine. Right? And you can't have it. No! Our faith is to be spread. That we should be examples. Our marriages should be examples to those around us. How we work, all these things. We should be beacons in a world that, look, those who are looking and those who are seeking will be able to find us. Jesus says, look, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. Our goal as a church is to lift up Jesus. Because Jesus saves. As a Christian, how you live your life should be a beacon to those who are searching God. That they should see there's something different about you. And they may ask you, hey, what? Why do you have the hope? Or why do you do this? Or what do you believe? We were just at a family thing, and it seems like every time we're at that, there's one relative that always corners me and wants to know my opinion on things. And so he asked me, what do you think about COVID? I'm like, what about it? Because I am under strict orders to behave myself at these family things. You know, so, you know, my wife will say, don't talk politics. Don't talk religion. Behave yourself. Be good. And so, you know, but what do you do when they come to you? What do you think? And, you know, I've been in the family now. Actually, next week we'll be married 33 years. And, right, next Friday, I think we're going to make it, hon. Yes? Okay, I'm getting nervous. She's just like, so I've been in the family, right? So this relative knows, and so, you know, he looks me out. And I told him, I said, you're going to get me in trouble. He goes, not with me. And because he knows I have a biblical perspective. I try to look at it from the Bible, and he's interested. Now, he's not a believer. But I find it interesting that when he wants to know kind of the church answer or the religious answer, I'm the one he seeks, right? And we should be that beacon to those around us. The Bible says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Right? As we go through this whole COVID thing, as Christians, we should behave differently. And I think people say, hey, why is that? Why are you doing this? And there's some things that I don't agree with, and I'll tell them why. There are some things that, you know what, I'm saying, hey, this is what we're doing as a church, or this is what we're doing as a family, this is what I'm doing individually, and this is why, and people want to know. And what kind of light are we to shine the way? Okay, so light shows the way. It's that lighthouse, if you will. But then light shows in the house. It's interesting because, you know, in here we have lights. In your house you have lights. The purpose of a light inside the house is different from the lighthouse, right? The purpose of the lighthouse isn't so you read and enjoy the ambiance of it. It's to show the way. The light in the house is totally different. Notice what he says here. It says, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are, what, in the house. And I believe that what he's talking about here are those of like faith. As Christians, we need each other. Right? We're a family here. I love that picture of a church. We're a family. I look forward to getting together and talking with you all. I love the fellowship we can have. I love all those things. And we need each other. Especially as this world kind of goes crazy, you and I could be the sanity check. That if I talk to you and you have a like faith as I do, that in you, that encourages me. That I'm not alone. You know, we talk about marriage. You know, it's interesting because if I talk to Christians who love the Lord and want to follow Scripture, their idea of marriage and working things out is different if you go to the world and they're like, oh, it's not working out, you know, just dump her. Right? I'll move on. Get a different one. Oh, well. Right? If I go to the world for help and for philosophies and direction, it's often to be contrary to the Word of God. And often it will tell me kind of what my flesh wants to hear, but not what I need to hear. But if I get together with Christians who love the Lord, that you help me and you encourage me. The Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, that in here we can encourage each other. Book of Galatians says it this way, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially of those who are of the household of faith. Right? I mean, we should be loving everyone. We should care for everyone. We should be giving. We should be doing all those things, but especially within the body. You know, I love this morning, the testimony. You know, Linda, you were like, thank you, everyone. I've had a rough year, but the church made it better. Right? And we have testimony of those that I'm just so glad I have a church family throughout all of this. Because this world is often isolated in there alone. I've shared with you that nowadays more so, you know, we have all this social media that's supposed to connect us, but people are feeling more alone than ever before. And COVID has been on top of that. Right? If I was just stuck at home on my couch, I'd be going, brr, brr, brr. I mean, I long to get together with the church, with my church family. The book of Hebrews says this, not forsaking the assemblies of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much more as you see that day approaching, that day of the Lord is coming. We're talking about that in Revelation. I'll make a plug. 5:30, next door. Going through the book of Revelation, it's bad. And we see this world, and we're like, how much worse can it get? Take a sneak peek at the end of the book. It gets a lot worse. But as we approach those, as those things are starting to be put into place, as we see this world sliding quickly, right? The Bible says that day is coming in like a flood. I am amazed how quickly the morality of this country has changed over the last, 3 years? Right? I would say even within the last year. I haven't been on Facebook this morning, but I imagine things have even slid since I got up this morning. And we need each other as we see that day approaching. You know, we talk about those that have convictions. I was just talking to someone this week, and I was like, you know what? At what point are we going to be like the Christians in Jerusalem who are under persecution? And other Christians were helping each other out because they were being told to deny their faith. And I think we have some people who, because of their convictions, their Bible-believing convictions before God, that they're going to start paying prices. I think we're going to see people losing jobs. We're going to see people going through hard times because of their faith. And as Christians, can I tell you something? Going forward, I think we're going to have to encourage one another. We'll have to be supportive of one another for those who are willing to stand for their faith. We got some interesting times coming, folks. And the church needs to be the church more so than ever before for our own sake. Amen? See if I'm on the same page. But not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together. So light, right? Jesus says, you are the light of the world. We're to show the way. We're supposed to shine within the house. And we're supposed to be a spotlight on God. Now, I just want to point out, because I'm pretty proud of myself, I did pretty good alliterations. All these points all had the same letter. So I just want to, because I don't normally do that, and I'm not good at that. And I did it, so I just want to say thank you. All right? You can thank me later. I just had to point that out because it was a big accomplishment for me. Anyways, but Jesus says here, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father is in heaven. Bible tells us, therefore, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. That, folks, we are to be a spotlight, that our lives should reflect God's glory. Right? We're that spotlight. And if you look at my life, any good that you see, it's because of Him. Anything that's really cruddy, that's me. And I'm sorry for that. God's working on me. But any good you see in me, God gets all the glory. And that's how we need to live our lives. Right? And, you know, we turn around and if we're successful, folks, give God the glory for that. If you're talented, give God glory for that. Use it for Him. You know, we have so many people that are gifted and talented. I mean, take it from a guy, you know, I'll share with you, I don't have any real talent. You know, I can't sing, I can't dance, I can talk, and I don't, you know, I tell people I don't speak English, I speak American. I can talk and eat. You know, so I have the gifts of like a, you know, 2-year-old. You know, I'm not talented at all. And I sit back at some of you and I look at your talents and gifts and ability that God has just blessed you with. I mean, look in the world today, we have people with so many gifts and talents and all these things. And so many people use it for their own self, for their own getting ahead. Folks, as Christians, all these things can be used for His glory and for His honor. Anything I am able to do is because of Him. And point people to that. If we woke up this morning, the breath we have comes from God. Have you using it for Him? The Bible says you are salt. You are salt. Right? Are we potent? Do we purify and do we preserve? The Bible says we are light. Do we show the way? Do we shine within the house? Do we encourage other Christians? And do we glorify God in all that we do and say? Remember, Jesus didn't say that you can be light. The Bible doesn't say you should be light. The Bible says you are. The question is, how bright do you shine? And how salty are you? Right? How potent are you in your life? I pray this morning that we can just be encouraged. This world is getting darker, folks. And it gives us an opportunity to shine brighter. Let's do it for His honor and for His glory. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. Bless us, encourage us by it. Lord, help us to follow it. Lord, help us to be light and salt in this world, Lord. It needs it more than ever. Lord, give us boldness and strength to stand. And Lord, help us to stand together for Your honor and for Your glory. Lord, we ask this in Your name. Amen.